You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
In the news this morning, flags will fly at half staff in honor of Philadelphia police officer Jamie Roman. He died 80 days after being shot during what was supposed to be a routine traffic stop. So we're hearing more and more about Officer Roman, his wife, his young children, who he leaves behind, 25th District officer. And he's described as somebody who would light up a room, the Philadelphia police officers. He's been on life support and many prayers and vigils for him. He was escorted, as I said, yesterday morning, his body escorted to a funeral home in the Northeast. And we'll be learning more and talking more about those funeral arrangements. But yeah. Flags will fly at half staff in honor of Officer Roman.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad that, and this is no disrespect, but it's the tragedy that occurs. It's sad that I have to know the names of Stephanie Mack, Marissa Fitzgerald, and now the widow of this slain officer who, you know, fought for his life for almost 3 months after that coward did what he did. Just awful.
Mayor Sherelle Parker speaking out, saying it means we have to continue to work as hard as we possibly can to make sure the public health and safety of our city is our number one priority, and I shall not be moved. That declaration from her as they've ordered the flags to fly at half staff. A Pennsylvania man making national news accused of drugging and then sexually assaulting at least six female victims, including a teenager. According to investigators, he's ID'd as 40-year-old Andrew Gallo of Copper Beach Lane in Bristol Township, facing a list of charges. But the bottom line here is that he was meeting these victims on various sites. He went by Drewster420, and the website was Sugar Daddy Meat. And so a warning going out about these sites that advertise, you know, wealthy older men looking for legitimate, respectful hookups with, you know, younger women, looking for companionship. So the word is the victims ranging in age from 17 to 30, according to the Bucks County DA's office. He's accused of drugging these women. So putting in beverages and food, apparently, and heavily drugging them. And then they were strangled to the point of going unconscious.
Jeez.
And horribly assaulted.
Wow, that's just awful. Just absolutely awful. Soccer is always about the eye for an eye punishment. Why don't we drug this guy, force him to watch a Jets game with Phil, and then throw him in the can?
That's your form of torture, forcing him to watch a Jets game.
Jets are torture.
What are these sites you go on and...
Stalker wants the actual website.
Do you go to the site?
No,
SugarDaddyMeat.com.
SugarDaddyMeat.com.
Yeah. SugarDaddyMeat.
That's what I... Oh, meat, like M-E-E-T.
Yeah, meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a meeting.
Yeah, not
the, M-E-A-T.
Beef. Yeah. Yeah.
Aye, aye, aye.
This is why we need to go vegan.
Just curious. I'm just curious.
This is terrible.
So like older men go on there looking for, you know...
Yeah.
Younger ladies.
Mm-hmm. And younger ladies are like, oh, this will definitely be the key to me not having to work anymore.
Yeah.
Stalker making it about the female. Come on.
I'm not making it about the female. I'm just saying that these sites are...
Yeah, these... Craig, because you never know which individual on there is actually...
A sugar daddy.
There for... Well, yeah, that too. But, you know, sinister intentions and these psychos that strangle a woman.
Most quote-unquote sugar daddies are probably not on this website.
There you go. I mean?
That's true. They're in politics.
Greg Stalker, your sugar daddy advice.
Thank you, baby.
We also, I mentioned Mayor Sherelle Parker. There was this huge turnout last night for the mayor's town hall that on this proposed 76ers arena. Meeting started late because hundreds of people showed up. A line to get inside, wrapped around the building. Overflow rooms were available. So a lot of passion here as they're, the mayor's argument and many who support this say, hey, most, look at how many NBA teams have their arena right in the heart of their center city, and that this would be good for the city. However, those many members of Chinatown say it would destroy their culture and really destroy the town. So they're trying to, come together on this. The mayor pushing for this.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn on it from the standpoint of I hate the entire complex in South Philadelphia. It just doesn't have any, like, I've seen what Atlanta has done. I've seen what Nashville has done. And there's so much more charm to it. Like, I've always thought Citizens Bank Park has more charm than the Link. The Link is just kind of like this metal canister. It's just, there's nothing like, you don't really feel attached to it like you did the old Vet or, obviously Citizens Bank Park. But, like, if you stick it downtown, it's going to be a total nightmare. But if you stick it in, what was the report? Is it Camden?
Mm-hmm. So that's the other piece of this, that they have other... They have a big offer.
Why don't you stick it out in
Montgomery? Juicy offer.
Why don't you put it out like in Montgomery or Bucks County?
No. What?
That's what the Braves put their new stadium out. Well, I don't know if it's...
This is Nick Cale not wanting to drive far. That's what this is.
Yeah. The Braves stuck their new stadium in, I think it's in either Marietta or Kennesaw, Georgia, and it's not in the inner heart of like downtown Fulton County, and people love it. They really do. That makes it harder if you live in the city to get out there. But they kind of did that by design.
Yeah, I just think of traffic and parking. How are you going to, what are you going to do?
I know. Well, that's the thing. It's not realistic downtown. It's just, too hot condensed. Mess. It is.
So we have that going on for sure. I'll just headline the story that you mentioned about Central Bucks. This is making major news that in Central Bucks, they've passed this new social media policy. And this is something that, really is a follow-up because we've talked about the anti-Semitism complaints. We've talked about all the issues and lawsuits going on there. But the Post will be subjected to a student code of conduct. And this even means a student who violates the code of conduct, they could be disciplined for anything that they do social media-wise off campus.
That is correct.
So
I think they're kind of... And we'll delve into it, but I believe the advisor to the club needs to be kind of in the loop, as in nothing can be posted. I think if I'm reading into it properly without the approval of the adult kind of signing off on it, as far as like an editor to a paper, so to speak.
Yeah, what I don't get on this one, because we've reported in the past, the problem was actually a teacher in the past.
Oh, yes,
so,
that's right.
So remember that?
Yeah.
So I believe that the teachers and faculty, they all also have their own, code of conduct.
Mm-hmm.
This goes to students, and it stemmed from the post by a Muslim student group that was a club. And so there's that federal civil rights complaint. I've done interviews. We've been talking about this for quite some time.
Yeah, we'll do a little bit on that in the second hour of the show.
So let me get to our sponsor real quick here. Budget Blinds, ready for fall? Budget Blinds is your one-stop shop. Blinds, shades, shutters, custom drapery, and motorization. Visit budgetblinds.com. Get a free in-home consultation. It's the only no-questions-asked warranty in the entire business. When you schedule your consultation, ask about their special radio offer. Greg Stocker, Greg and Steph can tell you they have done up their house with Budget Blinds.
Amazing.
Beautiful job.
Amazing stuff.
I just love the motorization. Mm. It's my favorite thing. And in our forecast and our and our sports, it's only 6:14, and we're having way too much fun.
Yeah, I agree.
We are sponsored by Best Work Industries for the Blind. So how about the Phils? What's the number now to clinch it?
Is it eight? Is the magic number eight? Yeah. I think. Yeah.
And the Mets come to town this weekend.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be a great series.
Yep.
So we have a beautiful stretch of weather. Mets, does that series, I believe, starts tomorrow.
Night. Yeah. Tomorrow night.
So they have a day off.
Yeah, they have a day off. They want to come to Puns and Politics tonight.
Yeah.
So,
you know.
Me and Nick Castellanos are going to hang out. if he pops.
He's on fire.
He is.
Yeah.
3-2. That was the final for the Rays.
They swept the Rays.
It's exciting.
The Rays aren't the same Rays from the last couple of years, by the way. It's not the same team.
No, not at all. Yeah. They're back to being nothing.
Yep.
So we have this dense fog advisory that is being issued by the National Weather Service. Berks, Bucks, Chester, Delaware, Lancaster, Lehigh, Montgomery, Northampton, even Philadelphia. And it's also across South Jersey, Delaware, Kent, Newcastle. So be safe. And that lifts at 10 a.m. for a gorgeous 83-degree day. I don't see any major rain or any rain at all for the next 5 days in the forecast. So we continue with this pattern. It's dry, but it's nice in the 80s. We'll heat up this weekend to the mid-80s. Right now we're looking at 64 degrees. And we are sponsored for our forecast and our fabulous Phil's forecast. We are sponsored by Best Work Industries for the Blind, Changing Lives, nonprofit organization located in Cherry Hill. Best Work Industries for the Blind, providing training, employment for people who are blind or visually impaired. For employment opportunities or if you just want to donate, go to bestworkindustries.org. Thank you, Best Work Industries for the Blind, for sponsoring Kill & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:16 Thursday morning. Let's get to another Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
And the Big Take this morning brought to you by Indeed. Fight, 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 but what is the right approach for a potential round two? On Tuesday night, the biggest loser was ABC News. But ABC News will still be around after November 5th and continue to exist. Donald Trump had a bad night, and the difference between Trump and ABC is that Trump might not be around after November 5th. Kamala Harris entered Tuesday night's debate with 31% of Americans not knowing who she is or what she is about. And perhaps they emerged from the debate and believe she is tough and can handle stronger men. Or perhaps the undecided and those who know nothing about her remain mystified by who she is and what she stands for. And maybe that was the Harris campaign goal. If viewers watched the first 20 minutes, they saw Trump at his best and Harris a little wobbly. If viewers stayed for 35, 40, 45 minutes, they saw some of Kamala's improved moments. If they stayed the entire night and they know anything about the truth, they saw how much of a sham ABC News really is. But make no mistake about it, Americans saw it. And Pennsylvania, the prime example. According to Nielsen, the debate drew an estimated 67 million viewers. That was a 29% increase from the June 27th debate between Trump and Biden in Atlanta, Georgia. The debate drew a 32 share, but more importantly, here in Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh received a 44 share, Philadelphia a 43 share, which ranks as the top two markets who consumed the debate in the entire country. So did Tuesday night have an impact on the results for November 5th? It appears right now, not so much. The betting market in the last 36 hours has gone from Trump plus 7 to a statistical tie, 49-49, to back in Trump's favor, with Trump up 2 points, 50-48. And keep in mind that gamblers, especially the sharp ones, they remove emotion and they bet with their brain, not their heart. Also, from a polling perspective, the latest YouGov Economist poll shows a statistical tie, 45-45, with Harris down 2 and Trump flat or even. The poll was conducted on September 8th, September 9th, which was the day of the debate, and the day after yesterday, September 10th. It included over 1,400 respondents, and it is D plus 8 unweighted and D plus 4 weighted. So that translates to solid news for Donald Trump. But this really shouldn't surprise anybody. Think about everything we have seen in the political calendar and landscape this summer. Biden gets knocked out in the debate. Trump gets shot. Joe drops out. Kamala's installed. Trump selects JD. Kamala selects Tim Walz. RFK endorses Trump. Conventions are had. Honeymoons are over. Polling has been relatively consistent and flat. So while, yes, it was a bad night for Trump, maybe just everybody out there was like, I already made up my mind. I'm going to watch it. Yes, Pennsylvania, Philly, Pittsburgh, we were invested. But almost everybody has made up their mind. At least that's what polling and the betting markets would show us. But will Donald Trump engage for a rematch? Reportedly, the Harris campaign wants it. Here's what 45 had to say yesterday afternoon. Listen and watch.
Well, you know, when you don't win, it's like a fighter. When a fighter has a bad fight, gets knocked out, or loses the fight, the first thing he says is, we want a rematch. So we won the debate according to every poll, every single poll. I think that, are we going to do a rematch? I just don't know. We'll think about it.
Would you still do the one?
I like the analogy, although I don't think it applies here because I think Trump had the worst night. I would actually argue that Harris and her campaign are advocating for a second round because she feels relatively confident following her debut. But if Trump agrees to a second debate, I do hope it's on Fox News. And I said this yesterday, I'll say it again now. I think he has every right to ask for Sean Hannity or Jesse Waters, but I would gladly take Brett Baer and Martha McCallum, even though he said yesterday on Fox and Friends in the morning that he doesn't want those two as moderators. I'm not sure that Kamala Harris will do a Fox News debate unless the moderators are non-prime time hosts. If she agrees to Fox, she is going to want the most, quote, neutral moderator possible. But the truth is this. Donald Trump has been in politics now for 9 years. His only option is to fight, 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 as he said emphatically when he was almost killed. He has to debate her again. The question, however, is what is the correct strategy? Because Tuesday night was not the correct approach. It might not have been adequate preparation. Maybe he should rehire Zioli. Maybe Chris Christie should step in. They had him prepared 8 years ago. But here's the million-dollar question. Do you take the fight to her and, quote, go balls to the wall and try to embarrass her and utilize what she did Tuesday night, get under her skin, or do you run it back the same way you did against Joe Biden? Policy, policy, and some more policy. That was my advice entering Tuesday night. But he lost focus along the way on the issues at hand. He took her bait and ABC News. And yes, it was a 3-on-1 debate, but somehow, some way, you have to stay disciplined. I want to share this information from the New York Times. I thought this is fascinating. And it illustrates being on the offensive compared to backpedaling and playing defense. If you're on YouTube, you will see this graphic. Kamala Harris had 37 minutes and 41 seconds of speaking time. She spent 17 and a half of that on the attack. That comes out to 46% of her airtime, quote, going after her opponent. Meanwhile, Donald Trump had 43 minutes of total speaking time, but spent only 12 minutes attacking his opponent. That comes out to just about 30%. Translation, he was on his heels, and she was dictating the tempo, as was ABC News. She actually spent more time on the economy when she can't spell economy than Trump did. 6 minutes and 6 seconds to 4:13. And Trump actually spent more time on abortion, 408, compared to Harris at 340. This cannot happen again, period. Trump's biggest strength, the economy. Kamala talks more. Trump's biggest weakness, female reproductive rights. He's talking more. We need to flip that. Republican pollster Frank Luntz joined the Piers Morgan show and said that Kamala Harris didn't win the election Tuesday night, but Trump might have lost it. Listen and watch this.
Do you think Kamala won? And does that mean she may now win the election?
I think more accurately, it's that Donald Trump lost. And this is not the worst debate performance I've seen in my career, but it's very close to it. The conversations about people eating dogs and cats, calling the leader of Hungary one of the greatest world leaders, repeatedly missing the opportunity to focus on inflation and affordability, and the complete inability to present his point of view without completely tearing into her, into Joe Biden, into whomever was in his sights. It was a pretty negative performance, pretty pessimistic, cynical, contemptuous, and I think that this will cost him. Yes, I'm trying to decide if I want to go on record, and the answer is yes. I think that he loses because of this debate performance. Wow.
It is certainly possible. I would say, however, right now it went from small advantage Trump to small advantage Harris, but still within a margin of error. And yes, we're talking about three states, 42,000 votes from 4 years ago. But I want to conclude with a theory as I was thinking about this yesterday. And maybe it's too cynical. Maybe it's too diabolical. But I think the audience will actually agree with this, because with Democrats and the media, you can never rule anything out. And think about everything that's gone on the last 4 years in this country. I think you have a right to think this way. Here's what I think happened and how Trump may have been played. Is it possible that CNN stayed out of the way? Think about this. We were praising us here on this show, on this station, CNN for doing a fair and adequate job on June 27th. We never give CNN credit. So why were we? Was CNN staying out of the way and letting Joe Biden crash and burn intentionally at the behest of the power brokers of the Democrat Party in order to get rid of him and in order to get a new candidate in? Then, once Kamala Harris is installed, the setup takes place where she had said, I'm only going on ABC News, a network in which, as we know, gives her 100% positive spin coverage and Trump 93% negative spin coverage, in which also their top executive reportedly is a major ally and confidant and close lifelong friend of Kamala Harris to make sure that Trump is buried. You can't rule that out. How could you after the last 4 years? Prosecutions, assassination attempts, deplatforming. This could be deemed the 2024 election interference, which would be the new Hunter Biden laptop suppression via big tech pertaining to the New York Post story of 4 years ago. Don't tell me it's not a possibility after everything they've thrown at Trump. The media hates Trump. The left hates Trump. And they don't like you. We know that. Here's Lawrence Jones from Fox and Friends in Washington, PA yesterday morning, speaking to a Trump supporter at a local diner who asked Trump a question live on television when it comes to the mainstream media. Listen and watch.
Hello, President Trump.
Hi.
I'm just curious
Hi.
On how you're going to combat the all the fake news and break through some of the noise to get the undecided voters to vote for you this November.
Well,
that's a good question,
doing a show
Mr. President.
Like this,
what are you going to do?
That's a great question, because you really do it by doing a show like this with Lawrence and the group. You have to get your word out, and you don't have a fair media. You have a very liberal, biased media. I have no idea why. I actually have no idea. Think of it. They don't want walls. They don't want borders. They don't want good economies. The things they want are destructive to our country. But I will tell you that it's very important, if you're doing what I'm doing, you have to do shows like this. That's another thing. Kamala doesn't do any shows. She doesn't do interviews. She doesn't talk to people. She doesn't do anything like that. And that's not fair to the public, because they don't know what they're getting. But they saw last night what they had. They had a rigged show with somebody that maybe even had the answers. I mean, I'll be honest. I watched her talk, and I said, you know, she seems awfully familiar with the questions, and you get pretty good at that stuff after a while. But when I saw how totally rigged that was, I take a look at it, and I watch, and I say, you know, you have to get out there. And one of the things I did is I said, let's do this show at, like, what time is it, 6:30 in the morning. And it's an honor to do it. But you have to go out, and you have to do the shows. You have to go out and do media.
You are correct, and we don't have an honest media. But Trump needs to take his own advice and implement it better, much better. If we get a second round, speak to the American public. I'm almost of the belief now that he needs to ignore Kamala Harris completely. Ignore the moderators completely. Pretend you're in your bathroom rehearsing your speech. You've ever had that like big job interview and you're sitting there and you're putting on your tie or your makeup and you're going through your spiel in the mirror? That is what he needs to do. It's just you staring into that camera, speaking to the American public. If he can do that and almost put blinders on and earmuffs on, it will only give him a better chance of cracking through the lopsided field that unfortunately he's had to play on for the last 9 years. And that's the big take.
The Big Take. on Kale and Company.
Big Take this morning brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all year round. Schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from your Indeed dashboard. Learn more by visiting Indeed.com/credit. We'll come back, get people's thoughts and reactions to some of the tidbits we gave you in that Big Take, as well as the stock market, not the polls, the greatest indicator of what lies ahead as we continue Kale and Company. But first, a word from the Piazza Auto Group, and we are talking about Mazda this morning, specifically the CX-30. What a vehicle. It has an extensive crossover and SUV lineup. Mazda has you covered from head to toe. Between the sleek CX-5, the capable CX-50, the three-row CX-90, my wife really wants that one, by the way, and now all the new CX-70s that are out, there is something for every lifestyle. Piazza Mazda of Westchester and Reading will help you find the one that is right for you, with financing as low as 0.9% for 36 months. Visit Piazza Mazda in Westchester and Reading for a personalized test drive, just like I had, or shop online at PiazzaMazda.com.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
More information coming out yesterday, as I mentioned in the Big Take. Polling-wise, not much movement. Betting market, a little bit of movement. But I got to tell you, if the polls don't move significantly when somebody gets shot in the ear, if the polls don't move significantly when the incumbent has the worst debate in modern American political history, then, you know, I don't see much changing. You can certainly have the opinion Frank Luntz had that Trump didn't lose it, or excuse me, Kamala didn't win it, but Trump might have lost it. And maybe he did. But I don't think you can come away with any decisive viewpoint as far as what the election will hold on November 5th or what voting will hold starting, you know, right now in some states and certainly in Pennsylvania on September 16th. But we do have information, and I mentioned it in the Big Take, 67 million people. And I'm not surprised that there was an increase from the viewership of June 27th versus September 10th, right? Because we said people check out for the summer, listeners and viewing habits, they change. People are on vacation, they're taking trips, they're going to the shore. But after Labor Day, everybody gets back into their groove and it's full throttle, you know, straight through the fall holiday season. But you had a 28% increase. You had 67 million viewers. And let's almost, for now on, honestly, and forget national polls, I'm almost saying, let's forget swing states. Let's focus exclusively right here on Pennsylvania. Because of every single city that could have consumed that debate two nights ago, Pittsburgh draws a 44 share and Philadelphia a 43 share. So those 19 votes in the Electoral College, those undecideds, those independents right here in the Keystone State, they were locked in. How long they were locked in for, I don't know. That's up to, you know, Nielsen and these TV brand managers that do the stalker analysis. But if they saw the first 20 minutes, they probably were like, yeah, Trump, he's got the economy, he looks good. If they stayed for 45 minutes, Don, they saw Trump maybe come unraveled. I do think it'll be interesting to see what Pennsylvanians think and thought watching that, because they were, their eyeballs were glued to the television.
Yeah, and I think I think it's back to school. So I know for a lot of kids, they were told, hey, if you can watch at least the first 15 minutes, at least the first half hour. You know, I know for my sons, that was part of it.
Mm-hmm. And oh, so they had like school assignment work,
yeah,
as far as
just,
watching.
Just watch it, you know, and so, and class discussions and more on, did they discuss policy? And that's something that I think if you really look at it, because remember, you know, younger viewers, first time voters, okay, or college age, or even, you know, people between 18 and let's say 32 are very savvy. They're savvy to the media. They're savvy to not getting played, and more cynical because of what they've been through, especially think of, you know, first time voters. They were, you know, what, in middle school when the pandemic shutdowns happen, depending on where you were.
Well, that's, I think,
much more cynical
the way you frame it there, because it's first-time voters, because we know that young people typically don't vote. But if you're a first, and I would say first-time voter, yes, obviously, technically, the first time you can vote, 18. But you might not vote in your life for the first time until you're 24, mm-hmm. or 28, or 32 years old, whatever it might be. You might be my age, and you might, this might be the first time you've ever voted, because you thought, oh, voting's a waste of time, elections, blah, 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 yeah. blah, they don't mean anything, my life doesn't change significantly one way or the other. But I would counter and punch back by saying, oh, no, your vote matters. And I know there's certainly a segment of this audience that feels disenfranchised after what they believe happened 4 years ago. But this is why you have to believe your vote matters, and you have to vote, and you have to take advantage of all the tools that are out there, including early voting and mail-in ballots. Think about, I was thinking about these numbers last night. We live in a nation of over, 340 million people. Roughly 155 million voted. And as big as this country is, as many people as there are, this thing came down to 42,000 votes in three states. I mean, that is such a minuscule number when you look at the mass population and the total number of people that could potentially vote. So to say that your vote won't matter, no, it really could matter.
Smaller than the size of Springfield, Ohio.
There you go. And I'm just thinking about that. I would love to know what the population of Bluebell is. Let's just say, for the sake of conversation here, Bluebell has 42,000 people. That would be I'm going to come in and airlift everybody out of their home in Bluebell, put them in a massive chopper. We're going to dump you into Citizens Bank Park in South Philadelphia and say, everybody in this building right here is the difference in a win or a loss. So I'm blown away by a lot of this. I was thinking about it from many different angles last night. And I also think, and this is not to say, because I'm not one of these guys, I've said this on the air, I'm not one of these guys that complains about the referees. Do a better job. If you blame it on the refs, you've already lost. And yes, I get it. Trust me. ABC News, and we talked about it. They, to me, were the biggest disgrace of all on Tuesday night. But I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, seriously, if you think about this, did you ever think you were going to sit back after June 27th on that next night, the next morning we were on June 28th, and say, I'll tell you what, man, Dana Bash and Jake Tapper, they did a bang up job. I got a lot of respect for them. They did it. So you start thinking about the wheels and putting the wheels in motion. And we've said this in the past. You know, Democrats are a lot of things. They're not stupid, right? And I just look at all of this, and it's like, this was the way to get Biden, because we've never seen that before. A debate for an election for the presidency of the United States in June? Unheard of. And then we get ABC News and David Muir, who's labeled. I've seen the ad, by the way, when I watch sports on ABC. The most trusted and watched name in evening news. He was totally in the tank for Kamala.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
100%.
By the way, if you had to guess, Nick Hale.
Yes.
What would be your guess for the population of Bluebell, Pennsylvania?
6,400. Don't do this to him.
Well, my numbers are way off. So if 42,000 is what I said, then it's either got to be 200,000 or Dawn just said 6,000.
I was looking for, so Norristown has nearly 36,000.
Okay.
If you think of Norristown, maybe that's closer to your number.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, so that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about Norristown deciding the election from a sheer number standpoint.
Get ready to set Nick up. And
I know. Don't do that. It's not nice.
What was it? 6,400?
6,500. Yeah.
That's it. I thought you were just
6,500 is the population of Bluebell as of 2022.
KYW's got more employees than Bluebell. Holy hell. I never would have thought 6,000. Man, yeah. I live in a real small town. Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. So I think that's important. But I want to give some good news, because I know a lot of people down in the dumps, if they objectively looked at Tuesday and they said their guy didn't do a great job, maybe it doesn't matter. And maybe polls really don't matter. And certainly over the last 4 years, you can argue that the polls have been atrocious. But Stocker found this story, I thought it's interesting, from Fortune. And they lay out a couple of things regarding the stock market. And you don't have to be some financial wizard to understand what I'm about to share with you. According to the New York Times, Kamala Harris now is ahead of Donald Trump by 2 points, 49-47. When you look at some of the projections, like Nate Silver's 538, it is a 47-44 lead for Kamala Harris. So that's 3 points. So let's just say 2 or 3 points in favor of Kamala. Then the betting market has what, according to this article, is 49-49. I saw last night Trump's back up too, but let's call it a coin flip as well. It's actually the S&P 500's performance that is a true indicator or the most accurate source for predicting elections. And they write the following, and I want to read this for you and give you something to feel good about here on this Thursday. While these election polls will get most of the headlines, it turns out Americans might be better off watching the stock market if they want to know who will be in Washington next year. Election polls' historical accuracy has been spotty at best. In a 2023 examination of hundreds of U.S. election polls dating back to 1998, so going back 25 years, 538 senior elections analyst Nathaniel Rakich found that pollsters accurately predict the winner 78% of the time. And in 2022, that dipped to just 72% of the races. On the other hand, the S&P 500's performance between August and October, that three-month stretch, August, September, and October, has accurately predicted the winner of every election since 1984. So for the last 40 years, my entire lifespan, what the S&P 500 is showing you in that quarter, August, September, October, is 100% absolute on determining the winner. They go on to say, Comerica Bank's chief investment officer, John Lynch, and senior analyst Matthew Anderson offered a simple explanation between stock prices and election outcomes in a Tuesday email to their clients. Equity performance reflects broader economic sentiment. When voters are satisfied with the economy's direction, they tend to support the status quo. And when they are dissatisfied, they are more inclined to vote for change. Hello, Trump. Lynch and Anderson noted, with a strong stock market performance for the full year before an election, it has also been heavily correlated with success for the incumbent party. It hasn't always been a guarantee. The S&P rose 14% and 13% in 76 and in 1980. Okay, but that was, again, pre-1984. Since 84, it's been accurate. But the incumbent party lost the election during both of those inflation-heavy years. Hello, Trump, again. There are two big indicators right there that I just gave you. On top of that, last note, the third one to this magical mystery right here. The misery index. The misery index, I like that. Combines the seasonally adjusted unemployment rate with the annual inflation rate into a single measure in an attempt to gauge the economic pain that Americans are feeling. A higher number signals consumers are struggling with rising prices and finding jobs, leading to more economic misery. The three-month average of the misery index between August and October has accurately predicted every presidential election since 1980, going back 44 years. So what does it mean now? The latest misery index came in for August at 6.7%. That's down from a Biden administration peak of 12.5 in July of 22, but it's up from this June's 6.5%. If this rule holds, this election, Kamala Harris's chances are in serious jeopardy. And I want you to think about this. Dawn mentions the economy. Dawn talks about the Fed a lot once a month on her show. We've had job reports that have showed corrections and revisions, a.k.a. overinflated lies. And inflation is still 2.8%, which, by the way, is about still two times as high as what it was under Trump. If you're looking for good news, if you're looking for reliable indicators, I just gave it to you. This is very good for Donald Trump. And what was his highlight of the night on Tuesday night, Dawn? The economy. Mm-hmm. The first 15 minutes. If these numbers hold true, it's a positive for the Trumpster and a negative for Harris.
The quote is, equity performance reflects broader economic sentiment. Equity, this is equity used in the proper way, as opposed to DEI, right?
I was just thinking the same thing.
But I think, you know what? I think that Trump supporters, it's weird. Trump supporters, in my opinion, were more like disappointed because you know what Trump can do because you study him, you watch him, you love him, you're like, ah, you know, so you wanted him to come out and do a KO. But he was solid. And it's interesting to me that independent voters or people who might not be as, you know, hardcore, let's say, actually thought Trump did a good job and thought that Kamala Harris did not answer the questions,
mm-hmm.
that she had clearly memorized things and really didn't give the answer. That's what I'm seeing more. So I think it's that, you know, it's fascinating to me to watch this and hear people say, oh, you know, I thought he, you know, whatever, he was lower energy or he wasn't himself. But I think he actually was steady in his performance and gave more substance and policy. So this is fascinating to watch that the fact that he did not come out punching or bold played well with, I think, more independent type voters.
Well, I'm hoping that's what resonated because the CNN flash poll post debate said 63% believe Kamala Harris won. But that's not necessarily the worst thing in the world. First of all, it's a CNN poll, so I'm assuming it's CNN viewers and consumers. And when we talk about a small sliver that's going to determine this election, how many of those 37% that won are the independents? And truly, if you are undecided, if you are an independent, if your vote really hangs in the balance and you're a no-nonsense, oh, I'm not a social media guy, I'm not interested in Trump's zingers, I'm not interested in Kamala acting like she's tough, all I care is about bottom-line results, then maybe you do believe Trump gave you more substance and more policy. And I do agree with Frank once where I thought Trump dropped the ball when he could have gone further on, you know, inflation and certain policies and specifics. However, even though Trump didn't have a great night by any measure, he still gave more substance and policy yeah. than Harris. And maybe that was by design. Maybe the Harris campaign just wanted to come in because we and I have to believe the Trump can, and this is why I was so disappointed with the Trump team. We talked about the report of Hillary Clinton prepping Kamala, saying he can be rattled, you can get under his skin. So it was out there for the public to know that it's a distinct possibility that Kamala is going to come in there and try to ruffle some feathers. And the fact that he allowed her to do that and he took the bait was so disappointing for me. But hopefully the independents say, you know what, like we heard that lady yesterday, Stocker played that lady from somewhere in, I think, Erie, PA on the cut sheet. All she cares about is the economy. So mm-hmm. she's not taking any of the bait on any of the stuff that we chop up on a daily basis, 6 hours a day.
Yeah.
But she just looks at the bottom line. And that's what I project to people. And I hope that, because as I've said, it's like you're going into the grocery store and you've purchased both products before. Or maybe you didn't purchase them because you didn't vote for Biden, but you've lived through it. And you can sit there and compare candidate A to candidate B and which one made your life better. And I'd like to think that's what the election comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
But sadly, I don't think that's where we are.
And the weirdest thing is with my kids, you know, they talked about the economy. They talked about taxes, all of that. But then they talked about the cats and dogs comment, too.
Mm-hmm.
That was blowing up yesterday.
That's all I heard yesterday.
Yep.
So,
yeah. And in school, in high school,
yep.
that was the discussion. And the
which I would expect for 16, 17, and 18-year-olds. I don't expect them to be talking about the S&P 500, right?
Well, I don't know. But then they were doing their research, and they found, they said, all right, there was one lady who ate a cat in Ohio. And I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. This is a bizarre conversation, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
But that was what it devolved to. It yeah. was, did somebody eat a dog or a cat or yeah. what have you?
Mm-hmm. 855-839-1210. The 25 lies that Kamala Harris told. There's a couple I want to get into that are beyond the entry-level surface stuff. We'll do that on the other side. And then also, a moment of camaraderie between the two combatants. We will play you the footage on the other side. Dawn's News to kick off the 7 o'clock hour as we continue. Plus, actually, I just saw this. My call screener just rebooted. We've got a lot of calls to get to.
Yes.
I'm going to take all of your calls. So if you're on hold, I'm just seeing them now. Hang tight. We'll take your calls as well. 855-839-1210. Back after this on Kale & Company.
Start your day with Kale & Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.